Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Rod Bryant and Jerry Gordon here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the Matrix.
It has been a fantastic week for me, actually a couple of weeks. Jerry, I spent some time with my grandchildren, which I hadn't seen in a long time, and it's really nice to, you get to FaceTime them every day just about, but it's nothing like taking your grandson and punching him and rolling around on the floor with him and having sweet tea time with your granddaughter. Nothing like it in the world. We've got a great show lined up for everybody. Don't you agree?
Yeah, we do. We're bringing back a regular, Dan Diker, of the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. He's the director of their program, the Counter Political Warfare, of which there is a ton these days. And interestingly enough, we're going to be talking about, are American blacks really anti-Semitic? And you're going to find some revelations that say maybe not, as against young Jews, intellectuals, and comedians who basically are dissing Israel.
Right, right. And look, we want to make this very clear. The reason why the subject matter even comes up in a conversation is the connection between BLM, Black Lives Matter, and BDS, which is an organization that is vehemently anti-Israel, and also the connection between Farrakhan and these organizations. So when you are finished listening to this show, hopefully we will have given you enough information to bring you out of the matrix and bring you into knowledge and understanding so that you can become a better person and make the world a better place. So, Jerry, this is going to be a great show. Guys, don't go away. We'll be right back with Dan Diker and a whole lot of good information.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
I'm Rod Bryant, and along with Jerry Gordon, and our guest, who is not a stranger to Beyond the Matrix, is Dan Diker. He is the director of programming for the Counter-Political Warfare at the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. It's all narrowed down to JCPA. Dan, we spoke a couple of weeks ago. We wanted to bring you back on the show. There are so many things happening within the news cycle that is very alarming, and I believe, as Dan, as Jerry and I were talking before the show, nonverbal conservative individuals who have their mind about them, understands the state of Israel, can see through the lines of BLM, they say nothing because they think it'll blow over in time. But we're seeing this beginning to morph into something that is very dangerous. And now we're talking anti-Semitism. We're talking about Marxism, communism. It's a chance to formally begin a change within the culture of not only America, but even in possibly Israel. So I want to have a good discussion about this. You published a controversial JCPA paper on the alignment of Black Lives Matter with BDS. How disturbing are those anti-Israel links between the leaders of BLM and the Palestinian BDS activists?
I think nice to see you, Rod. Thanks for having me on the show, and shalom to you and Jerry. It's always a pleasure to be with you, because I actually pretend that I'm in Florida, and it makes me feel like sunny and warm and cheery, even though I love being in Jerusalem, and I'm speaking to you now just outside Jerusalem from Gush Etzion. And I'd like to just share with you that I think that the brief that you're referring to, which was called The Alignment of Black Lives Matter and BDS, Implications for Israel and the Jewish Diaspora, was not controversial at all. It was basically an expose of trends that are disturbing, but did begin some years ago. We've been following those trends, specifically this convergence between Black Lives Matter and the movement for Black Lives, which is a radical subgroup of the Black Lives Matter network, and the Palestinian political warfare movement known as BDS. We saw that convergence turbocharge in 2014 during the 2014 Hamas war from Gaza opposite Israel. And that war, which of course was supported by the Iranian regime, and included all these terror tunnels that were dug into Israel.
It seems like we have a loss of connection. There we go.
5 minutes from where I'm sitting right now, we're picked up by a Palestinian car dressed up as religious Jews, much the way you look like, Rod, right now. That's the way they were dressed, and they murdered them within a few minutes in the back of their car. That triggered the war, and it also triggered within several weeks this solidarity with Black Lives Matter, with the controversial killing of in Ferguson. I believe it was Trayvon Martin in Ferguson, under very suspicious circumstances between him and the local police department there in Ferguson. That solidarity began to, at that time, morph into something much more serious afterwards, in which there was sort of a one-to-one relationship that was created between the type of what the BLM folks in America call, you know, the institutional state-sponsored racism against Black Americans, and the Palestinian issue in the West Bank and Gaza. But what we've seen most recently, with the further turbocharging of this integration between BLM, the integration, the solidarity between BLM and the Palestinian political warfare organizations, very much, I think, energized by the PLO, the Fatah, and the Palestinian Authority here, right here in Ramallah and in Gaza, is that we're seeing now a position of the Palestinian movement that says Israel is was born in sin. Israel, it's not a territorial issue anymore. What we see in the post George Floyd murder environment that they're trying to export as well to Israel is this notion of total solidarity, in the sense that, you know, as Professor Mark Lamont Hill says, the professor from Temple University, that a radical solution is needed in America, tearing down America as it exists today, tearing down the established order, defunding police departments, tearing down local governments. And as the head of BLM in New York said, we want to have Black sovereignty, and we will we'll get it any way we can, if it means tearing down the United States as it exists today. That type of language has now been co-opted and used by the Palestinian leadership and their NGOs in the United States, referring to what they call 48 Israel, which is the state of Israel as we know it today, within the curtailed 67 lines, as well as the West Bank and Gaza. So they don't make any differentiation when it comes to Israel between pre-67 Israel, post-67 lines in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and Gaza. All of that for them is Palestine, which has to be liberated in their view, and then rebuilt as the 23rd Muslim-majority Arab state in the Middle East.
Dan, some of the disturbing language that these Palestinian advocates and BLM fellow travelers use is somehow that Israel was complicit in the May 25th, 2020 death of George Floyd involving a Minneapolis police officer. And it's all in the context of defunding police. Why don't you explain that for the benefit of our listeners?
Jerry, what we saw in the aftermath, Floyd murder soon after, was a petition that was circulated by University of California students that charged Israel with complicity in the Floyd murder because of what they charged were the Israeli counterterrorism, military and police tactics. They just threw in everything they had ever heard in terms of an advisory relationship between Israeli counterterrorism experts and law enforcement experts from that in 2012 from Minneapolis and many other cities across the United States came to Israel for a seminar about intelligence gathering and preventative measures on counterterrorism. Had nothing to do with policing, nothing to do with field work, nothing to do with the type of chokeholds that Derek Chauvin and others, frankly, in U.S. police departments had been using, which predated any connection with Israel by many, many years. One, two, that is not even a part of the Israeli policing tactics beyond that. But three, this was a clear propagandistic, completely unfounded connection. But on the other hand, one that is being made more and more to try to tie in the Jewish state as a what they call imperialistic, colonialistic, fascist. This type of language comes right out of the playbook of Marxist-Leninist, applied to the United States the way it's being applied to Israel and vice versa.
Dan, you were on a recent Jewish Broadcasting Service TV program with Rabbi Mark Golub and a very interesting young man, Joshua Washington of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Explain to our audience how you are working with Mr. Washington and what his views are.
It appears that we have an internet technical glitch. Did you hear the question, Dan?
Yeah, the question was, if I understood the question, was it to expound a little bit upon the discussion that Joshua
Correct.
Washington and I had with Rabbi Mark Golub on the Jewish Broadcasting
Yeah, also
very recently?
Also, the two of you, your relationship and what you are doing together.
So Joshua Washington is the assistant director of an organization called IBSI, the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And he's the son of the very well-known and highly respected pastor, Dumasani Washington, who has a very prominent congregation, Stockton, California, and is very well respected as one of the senior people at QFI, Christians United for Israel. And so Joshua and I came to know one another as well through his through his wife. Are you guys hearing me?
Yes, I hear you very well, but we're going to have to go to a break. So can you just hold that, and let's come back from the break and end
this. All right,
very good. Good question. Yeah, you're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. We have Dan Diker along with us, and we're talking about the convergence of the Black Lives Matter with BDS, et cetera, anti-Israel. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these very important messages.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We appreciate you sticking around during the break. I'm Rod Bryant. We have a person that is a regular here on Beyond the Matrix, Daniel Diker, the director of the Program to Counter Political Warfare at the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs, JCPA. And Dan, before we went to the break, of which I so rudely cut you off, you were telling us about your latest interview with Rabbi Mark Golub, and Josh Washington. Why don't you go ahead and pick it up?
Right. Thanks, Rod. First of all, not at all. You didn't rudely interrupt me. I just kept going on and on and on and on. So my mom used to interrupt me and said, "Take a breath. Take a breath." So it's good to be back after the break. But let me clarify one thing. Joshua Washington is a very a special young man. He is a columnist at Times of Israel. You can see his blogs at Times of Israel. He is a next generation follower of Dr. Martin Luther King, and his dad was an acolyte of Dr. King. His dad, Reverend Pastor Dumasani Washington, very, very prominent pastor in the United States. And they follow in the footsteps of Ralph Abernathy and Dr. King and his followers and his disciples. As you know, Dr. King was a firm Zionist and believed, and is on record. You can just go to Google and find his statements that the Jewish state was an outpost of democracy in the middle of a sea of tyranny in the Middle East. And he, until the day that he was so tragically assassinated, he had been in Israel just a short time before, actually. And Joshua and I have linked up. Joshua is an author of a compendium that I wrote just before the corona outbreak in February. I'd urge your readers to get it for free electronically. It's called Israelophobia and the West. We actually reviewed it on your program just a couple of months ago, Jerry and Rod, and it is available at Amazon, Israelophobia in the West. It really explains the phenomena that we are witnessing right now in the United States, in which alleged political criticism of Israel is really, in truth, masked virulent anti-Semitism. And they're using the fact that Israel is a political entity in order to engage in really and trade in some of the worst anti-Semitic discourse that we've seen since the Nazi era. So Josh and I have linked up together with his wife, Olga Meshwe Washington, Black American, whose father, Kenneth Meshwe, is one of the most esteemed members of the South African Parliament and extremely friendly and supportive of the Jewish state And so the three of us are actually looking to rebuild what we call the Black American Israel Coalition, in the tradition of Dr. King and his followers and his disciples, and as a counterbalance to a radicalizing discourse among the BLM leadership. I'd like to clarify in your show that the comments that I'm making based on research, and if you go to jcpa.org and you put in you look for the article, just click on the article of the BLM BDS alignment, it is all footnoted. Everything that I bring is very tightly footnoted, and we're not in any way, neither Joshua nor I are slamming the anti-racist agenda of many of the thousands and thousands of good American women and men who are protesting the Floyd murder and protesting what has been a real problem of racism in the United States and of police brutality, which has affected Black Americans and American other ethnic groups across America as well. But so it's not the anti-racist agenda at all. In fact, Jews, as you know, Jews have been some of the biggest supporters of the anti-racist agenda. They fought for abolition, and they before blacks could even vote in the United States in 1870, and then in 1965, black Americans in the South finally, in a terribly belated way, received the vote, and Jews were right next to their black American brothers and sisters shedding their own blood in Mississippi and in New Orleans and in other cities in order to bring the 1964 Civil Rights Act to fruition under President Johnson. Joshua and I want to restore that type of solidarity, that type of brotherhood and sisterhood between blacks and Jews, and specifically between blacks in the United States and the state of Israel, which is a very big challenge today, because what Joshua says also is that there is a very, very deep split in the African-American community regarding Israel because of all of this type of neo-Marxist propaganda that has taken the small Jewish state, which was a product of decolonization at the beginning of last century when the Ottoman Empire was broken up, and it has been sort of recast in the most Stalinistic way, unfortunately our Palestinian leadership leaders use Nazi themes in their discourse, in their expressed public agenda of getting rid of the Jewish state, not building a Palestinian state next to the Jewish state. So Josh and I went on this program in order to clarify that there are those in the BLM leadership, such as Patrice Cullors, who says that Israel is an apartheid state, Israel is a genocidal state, others in the leadership, and also their meeting point with the very, very publicly anti-Semitic Louis Farrakhan, who has become a spiritual, strategic, and intellectual advisor to the Black Lives Matter movement. And he very openly says, and you can find this on the internet, just put in Farrakhan, that the Jews are Satan. The Jews are not even Jews. And this has become Jerry and Rod, mainstream discourse across the United States. That's why this is so dangerous. It is a mob discourse that uses Nazi themes, Stalinist themes, and puts Israel and even individual Jews on the target list.
Jerry, go ahead.
Let's segue to some other disturbing developments that involve American Jews, and in particular, Peter Beinart's recent provocative essay and the behavior of a Canadian Jewish comedian and actor, Josh Rogan, who this weekend is being lionized in an American film called The American Pickle. What can you tell us about that dialogue, how dangerous it is, and how reflective it may be of certain attitudes amongst American Jewish millennials?
What we're seeing, Jerry, I think, and Rod, is an alignment, which I wrote about in the paper at jcpa.org, that Beinhart's recent 6,800-word treatise in Jewish Currents, which is was actually a magazine started by the Communist Party back about 60 years ago, and today is very much on the farthest left fringe of the domestic international discussion, he wrote there that as maybe some of your listeners know, that he no longer believes in a Jewish state. So he's moved from being sort of what he called himself a liberal progressive critic of Israel to being an opponent of the existence of Israel as a nation state of the Jewish people. And what's so troubling about Beinhart's piece is that, A, he's a very, very intelligent, learned young man, and he should be a great asset to the Jewish community. But, you know, such a wholesale assault without any context on Israel as a nation state of the Jewish people, so arguing in this piece that that a Jewish state is no longer necessary because that Israel continues to be unable to solve this 100-year conflict with the Palestinians, which is, to be honest with you, far deeper conflict between Islam and the existence of a non-Muslim majority state in what Islam considers the Muslim Middle East. I mean, that's really, really what's going on. But Beinhart, in this piece, and I urge people to read this piece because it's very disturbing in the complete lack of nuance, of context, of basic facts that determine life on the ground in Israel. He gives the Palestinians a complete pass, as if they're not even an agent in this entire conflict. The fact that, you know, the fact that since 1936, the Arab-Palestinian leadership has refused 10 consecutive offers for their own sovereignty doesn't play into his analysis, nor does the fact that Arafat to Mahmoud Abbas, between the two of them, have denied, opposed, and turned down the last 6 consecutive offers since Oslo. The Oslo peace process began in 1993. So he basically holds Israel completely and unilaterally accountable for this impasse between us and the Palestinians. And that's why he says that under these circumstances, the state of Israel shouldn't exist. I call him, he's a non-Zionist, but Zionists like Jeremy Ben-Ami, who I'm not sure is a Zionist either. He's a Zionist. He's what I call a contingent Zionist. And he's a Zionist only as a reflection, as if you can create a Palestinian state in his image, sitting in Washington, D.C., or in Beinhart's image, sitting in New York. So they have no skin in the game. They basically try to undermine Israel by, in Ben-Ami's case, in J Street's case, by moving members of Congress to vote against Israel. This is what creates the Seth Rogen phenomenon, where, you know, Seth Rogen, who is an uneducated, assimilated Jew, says there's no reason for a Jewish state. And he has so many millions of followers, he completely influences the public discourse.
When we get back from the break, I would like to pick it back up there because I have a couple of ideas or thoughts about Seth Rogen. There was a bit of empathy from my part toward him, because of the fact that he is not a very well-educated person when it comes to his Judaism and about Israel. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Look, guys, don't go away. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are in the third and final segment with Dan Diker. We were talking before the break about Seth Rogen, and the comments that he made were quite shocking to a lot of people. A lot of criticism has come against Seth Rogen because of the comments, and in just a moment you can brief what they were. But there's a little part of me that's the empathetic kind of guy that says, you know, Seth has not really been connected to his Judaism, or he's not very well learned or understands the whole conflict and the whole life of Judaism, and thinks it's old and irrelevant, and that's why I made the comment. What say you?
You know, I don't, you know, Seth Rogen, first of all, is a very funny guy. He's a great comedian. I watch his stuff.
Same here.
And on from his point of view, he probably made sort of a half humorous comment, which he then tried to couch in tweets that his mom made him apologize to Isaac Herzog, the head of the Jewish Agency. But from his point of view, he's probably saying, I don't understand what all the hoopla is about. What is all the hoopla about? I'm a Canadian Jew. I'm proud to be a Canadian Jew. I identify as a Canadian Jew. I'm not an observant Jew. And what the hell do we need Israel for? I'm free in Canada. And many American Jews are saying, I'm free in the United States. And this has always really reflected the deeper tensions between American Jews other than the Orthodox community and Israel. Because, you know, the identification with their own history, their own present, and their own future as Jews is becoming less and less attractive as a national identity or a peoplehood-national identity that actually has sovereignty attached to it, called the nation state of the Jewish people. And this has been, I remember in the 1980s, part of the conservative movement at that time myself, hearing tremendous criticism about the Israeli rabbinate from the non-Orthodox rabbinate in the United States. And you just began to feel those tensions swirling then following the 1982 war in Lebanon, which was the first, that's the first Lebanon war in which Israel was accused of improperly. When you come to Israel, you understand what really happened, but was being accused of being sort of an offensive player as opposed to being a defensive player in 1982, opposite the PLO takeover of southern Lebanon, and then the Iranian, by the way, the Iranian infiltration into Lebanon in that very year. But without context, you know, from your point of view, meaning in the United States, or from Seth Rogen's point of view, he's probably saying, I really don't understand what the whole deal is. But so what I'm saying, the problem is much deeper, Rod. It's a much deeper problem, Jerry. And the problem is one of certainly assimilation, deep assimilation, and identification of Jews as being sort of what they call tikkun olam, you know, the idea of repairing the world, which is a Jewish idea, but it's been in a way de-Judaified and universalized. And that's where you get so many Jews co-leading in the BLM BDS space and working actually against the existence of Israel as the nation state of the Jewish people. It's a very, very serious development, and organizational Jewish leadership is going to have to deal with this. And thus far, those organizations, which are largely on the center left or the in the liberal space, in order to engage and embrace as many Jews as possible, have not stood up to this evolving and rolling a phenomenon.
Jerry, go ahead.
And let's turn to Israel. There have been massive protests in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem. And there's a question about whether there might be in the future elections if the Knesset doesn't come up with a budget bill. So let's take the first question first. Who and what is behind these protests in Israel?
Let's be very clear about what's happening here. The protests are not a function of the ongoing coronavirus and the spike in the infection rate. And it's not a direct output even of the economic difficulties that Israel and many Israelis are going through. This is a political movement by even by former military people and politicians, including Ehud Barak, who want to get rid of Netanyahu at any price. They do not accept the democratic results of the last election. In my view, they couldn't beat Netanyahu at the polls. Netanyahu is on trial, accused, indicted and accused in three different cases. That is proceeding. The court system is working well. The justice system is working well. Everything is going as it should. But these very vociferous, very aggressive, even violent demonstrations are an attempt to try to pressure Netanyahu to resign, even 3 months after he was elected, with a very confident majority to lead this national, what's called the National Emergency Coalition government. That does tie in to another problem, and that is that there is a lot of tension between the two major coalition partners, the blue and white faction and the Likud faction, particularly over the budget, as you point out here on the show. Netanyahu wants to pass a one-year budget, which essentially would just refer to the next 6 months at the end of the year. And then the blue and white faction, as it was agreed in the coalition agreement, it must be said, wants to stick to that agreement and pass what was called a two-year budget, which would bring Israel to the end of 2021. Netanyahu doesn't want to do that because the dynamic of the coronavirus and the concomitant economic, the deep economic dislocation and unemployment, he feels requires a different type of emergency budget for the next 6 months, and they should pass another budget in 2021. Now, they did agree in the coalition agreement to have a biennial or a two-year budget, a biannual budget, and yet he is insisting on passing the one-year budget. If they don't agree in the next 3 weeks, there's an automatic legal mechanism that will disband the Knesset and force Israel into new elections.
Okay. Regarding these protests, there have been allegations that another group that surfaced in prior elections with Bibi has been behind the scenes funding this activity, and that's the New Israel Foundation here in the U.S. Are they culprits in this?
I don't know. I simply don't know who's. It doesn't take a lot of money to fund, you know, a 1,000 or 5,000 people to come out on Motzei Shabbat and make a lot of noise, in Rabin Square in Tel Aviv or outside the Prime Minister's office in Zion Square in Jerusalem. But I think there are a lot of people who are becoming tired of it. They're seeing, you know, a lot of these people attack the police, and they're seeing these people disturb neighborhoods for hours on end. You did have up to 10,000 people at one point. Look, let's be very clear, politically speaking, and everything in Israel is a political act, from using the restroom to getting your mail, not to mention things like economy or the Iranian threat to our north, and so on and so forth. So let's be very clear that there's really no Labor Party to speak of, right? There are a lot of people who voted Labor in 1992 when the Labor Party garnered 44 seats and formed the coalition in 1992. And you know where and there are two members, the two remaining members of the Labor Party are in this coalition. The Labor Party is currently polling at well under the minimum threshold, meaning the Labor Party has wiped out between 1992 and now. And the reason is because they never learned the lessons of Oslo, the Oslo disaster, which is in my view, the worst self-inflicted political wound that any democracy has brought on itself in the last 60 or 70 years. But that's what's happened to the Israeli left. So the Israeli left is not a political force in Israel today. So they want to be a force on the street, certainly to express deep frustrations with Netanyahu, who has been in, this is his fourth consecutive coalition. and it's his fifth government. And the left establishment in Israel is saying, where did we go wrong? How could this guy possibly, and together with the right, you know, the or the nationalist parties, be ruling our country for so many years?
That is a really good good commentary on the situation. I am just thrown back with the idea that this is a complex situation. I mean, it's not a simple situation, especially for people on the outside to understand. However, it looks like because the left has lost their grip on Israeli politics, all they can do is kick and scream now. I'm not sure if that's going to be very effective when it comes to endearing themselves to the heart of the rest of the citizenry. We're coming to the end of the break. Could you please take time to tell people where to go so they can get more information about being actively involved in some of the endeavors that you are involved in?
Yeah, first of all, I'd be very honored if people would follow me at Dan Diker, one word, Dan Diker 84, one word, at on Twitter, Dan Diker 84. Or at you can contact me at diker@jcpa.org or come to the website at jcpa.org. You can get all of these research briefs that we're talking about, which are cogent, they're to the point, and they're not long, and they're constantly refreshing on all these issues, whether it's whether it's BDS, political warfare, anti-Semitism, Iran, the Palestinians. We have the best experts anywhere on these issues, and we publish in English. We refresh every day or two.
Dan, thank you so much for being an amazing guest. We appreciate it, and hope you have a wonderful evening. I know you've got supper with some Arab family. We're really proud of the work you're doing, and we're all going to say shalom.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.